Hello, and welcome to this edition of the EV Revolution Show audio podcast. With your host, Kenneth Bocor. This is episode 58, recorded on May 24th, 2024. This episode of the EV Revolution Show is sponsored by File Sanctuary. Need a great web host for your business? Need to get email at yourdomain.com? They provide professional, feature-rich web and email hosting for any project you have in mind. Get started today at filesanctuary.net/cloud and save 10% with promo code EVREVSHOW. All right, and thanks for joining this edition of the EV Revolution Show. As you've heard, my name is Kenneth Bocor, your host, and you know, the purpose of these podcasts really gives me an opportunity to talk to people from all over the place, all walks of life and coverage of the EV industry. And, you know, I thought it'd be nice to kind of bring, you know, come back home to home base here to Ontario. I'm based outside of Toronto and talk to an organization that's here in Ontario, locally based, and but is very fundamental in helping to drive the EV yardsticks and move the EV yardsticks forward. And I'm talking about Ivy Charging Network. You know, they're one of the most connected and reliable EV charging networks across Ontario. And they maintain not only some level two chargers, but also a vast network of DC fast chargers on their level three network. And I'm very happy to have Mr. Michael Kitchen. He's the general manager for Ivy here in the virtual studio. How are you, Michael?
I'm doing well, thanks. Thanks for taking the time to connect with me today, Ken.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to have a chat. And I think it's a good time because, you know, we've got summer season and fast approaching. The weather is getting nicer. We just had our first long weekend here in most of Canada, especially in Ontario this past weekend. So a lot more people getting out and about. And I think it's a good time to talk about, you know, charging and some of the solutions that you guys provide within Ivy that a lot of consumers and especially people that are new to the EV landscape may not be aware about. So what I wanted to start, Michael, is maybe you can just kind of tell my listeners, who and what Ivy is and what really is your mission. What are you guys all about?
Yeah, so Ivy is one of the largest public charging networks in Ontario. We have over 150 level three chargers all across the province. You know, one of the key goals with regards to building out the network that spans, you know, north to south, east to west. You know, we're from Ottawa all the way down to Windsor, all the way up to, you know, Kenora, Fort Francis in the northwest. One of the key goals is really kind of ending range anxiety, really supporting EV drivers so that they can, you know, have a network that they feel they can travel throughout the province with. So in addition to those level three chargers, we also have, as you mentioned at the beginning, level two chargers in a variety of municipalities, primarily around the GTA, but we've got over 30 level two chargers. We're continuing to grow both the level two and level three public charging networks. One of the main elements of our network is the en route network across the 401 and the 400. So we have 69 chargers across all 20 locations. So an easy, convenient, and reliable option for people that want to travel and charge as they're, as you mentioned, going through the province in the course of, you know, what is now turning to be kind of some lovely weather within Ontario.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think those locations that you're able to grab on the en routes for listeners that may not know, you know, you described it as being on our 400 series highways, our major highways going east, west, and some north south routes as well within the greater Toronto and southern Ontario and eastern Ontario landscape. And they're prime locations because they're right there on the highway. People are already used to getting off to, you know, use the facilities, grab a coffee. In the ICE world, they're gassing up in most cases, right? Because there's a gas station there. But now you have the ability to go and charge your EV in a DC fast manner. Go in, plug in for 20, 30 minutes, whatever your vehicle is going to need. And there's lots of great facilities right there, including free Wi-Fi and all kinds of amenities for consumers to use.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, with all of our level three locations, we always look for spots that are easy to access, They have good visibility. They're in safe locations within that given site, and they've got amenities so that people, mm-hmm. you know, do have something, either a washroom that they can use or a food or retail option, so that, you know, during the course of that 20 to 30 minute charge, you know, they're able to do some other activities, come back, be able to have gained enough charge to be able to continue on their way to their destination.
Yeah. And, you know, and you mentioned, you know, range anxiety before. Certainly that's still prevalent with a lot of people that are thinking about moving to electrification for their vehicle needs. But, you know, as you mentioned, you know, you've grown just in what, a few short years, mm-hmm. To quite a larger size than actually I thought you were, to be honest, when you put those numbers going, well, that's quite a lot. Like, you've only been around about 2-3 years now.
Yeah, the organization, you know, which is a joint venture between OPG and Hydro One, started approximately 5 years ago, but it's really over the course of the last 2 or 3 years that we've gotten the vast majority of the deployment in place across the province.
Yeah, and, you know, and again, having the en routes is a critical aspect to being able to kind of stand out above the crowd, you know, from that, because there's so much traffic, and those are very, very busy highways used to get around, especially for not only business, but recreational road tripping in EV. So great to have those locations. And because, you know, of such a large network, it's more, I think I've always said it's more about bladder anxiety than range anxiety when you get a little older. Like I am, you got to think about that stuff, right? So,
yeah, I think one of the things that, you know, people might overestimate before getting an EV is that concern around range anxiety. And I think that, you know, if you look at various surveys or statistics, you'll see that once people get an EV, and particularly if they get a home charger, they realize that they don't, you know, they don't need as many public charging options as they might have initially assumed. Mm-hmm. It is critical that we continue to grow them out, and ourselves and many other networks will continue to do so. But having that home charger and that ability to get up to, you know, 80 to 100% of your vehicle's battery before heading out for the day, if you're doing your typical, you know, commute to work, and unless it's extremely long, you know, you'll be able to start each day basically with a full, you know, equivalent of a tank of gas to start your day. And so, range anxiety, I think, is something that people realize isn't as real or as fearsome once they kind of start owning and driving an EV on a regular basis.
No, absolutely correct. And again, you know, the cost savings over gas, depending on, you know, especially for home charging, is just it's gold, you know, from that perspective. And I do want to bring up home charging with you guys in a little bit, but I want to stick just with the kind of the regular tripping. So a couple of things that I think listeners, if they don't know, especially those that are newer to EVs, that they need to kind of think about when doing a road trip is, it's kind of like, you know, taking a trip with kids. You kind of have to plan the route a little bit, kind of think about where you're going to stop, because kids are going to want to stop, and even us old farts here, like myself. So, you know, you have a pretty comprehensive app, and I'd like you maybe to explain a little bit more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So on our app, which is IV Charging Network, you will be able to find all of our locations across the province, and you'll be able to see their status in real time. So you'll be able to understand and kind of plan out, you know, based on the range of your vehicle, how many stops you might need based in terms of getting to your destination. And as you're approaching a given stop or planning for one that's on your route, you'll be able to know, okay, are those chargers available? You know, we might have a situation where a charger might be down and we're in the process of maintaining it, repairing it, or a charger might simply, you know, be in use. And so, you know, you might not be able to utilize it until that person finishes their public charge. So using the IV app, you can also go through PlugShare as well. We're on there, which, you know, is a great forum to be able to see all the charging, you know, that exists within the province. Those are two great resources for people to be able to plan and kind of a stress-free trip to their final destination.
Absolutely. Lots of tools to use. And most, you know, of the EVs that have come out in the last few years anyway, and that continue to come out now, have a lot of the charging networks integrated into their nav systems as well. I take it you provided some of that data to some of the OEMs for their systems to be able to integrate your stations?
Yeah, we're working on that with various OEMs. Mm-hmm. We've also been working on integration with Google, so that through Google Maps, you'll be able to see our chargers when driving and utilizing that app. So continuing to look to make our chargers as visible as possible to people, regardless of the platform that they're looking to use as they plan their trips.
Excellent, because the OEMs are actually getting, you know, I mean, Tesla has kind of is the gold standard if we use their charging and their integration their vehicles have with their own charging network, because it is owned and operated by a car manufacturer, which is unique to them. But that integration of having, you know, the predictability, the I'm losing my word here, but to be able to forecast or predict, you know, what your range is going to be, the state of charge is going to be when you get to your destination, and the vehicle to make the determination, okay, you want to go from here to Windsor, you're at 50%, you're going to have to stop somewhere. This is where you should stop, and this is where I think you'll have as a state of charge. This is how long I think you should sit there for. This is the car predicting. So that predictive analysis has gotten much better for most of the OEMs nowadays, and it's a big help for people planning trips.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's only going to continue to improve moving forward. We're also working on, you know, interoperability. So if you're on a different network, potentially a Circuit Electrique or a Flow or ChargePoint, you know, you'd be able to use that native app that you're used to, if that's kind of the app that is your go-to, and still be able to find and see IV chargers, be able to pay through that other app and have everything kind of seamlessly be handled in the back end. So going to be, I think, just another benefit for EV drivers in terms of not necessarily needing to have a dozen apps to be able to charge across a dozen different networks. And certainly, you know, that's been a challenge or headache for EV drivers over the course of the past 5 years, but working towards a great solution on that as well.
Now, obviously, we've talked about your app and that, you know, you set up an account, put a payment, put some sort of payment information there, and then it's pretty easy just to activate and get going. Or, you know, if you don't want to set up an app or don't have a vehicle that has that type of mechanism, then you can just tap. There are different payment methods, correct, on the terminals themselves to be able to pay?
So right now, there's essentially kind of three primary payment methods. So one is through our app. So you set up an account and you link it to your credit card. The other is through an RFID card, which you can request from us that we'll mail out to you. And then the third is just scanning the QR code that's on each of the chargers. And so that'll basically pop up a bit of a web app. You input your payment information and your email so that we can send you an e-receipt afterwards, and then you're able to initiate your charge. So if you don't necessarily want to download the app, if you're just planning on using Ivy for, you know, a singular trip, right, that's another great convenient way to be able to initiate and pay for a charge.
Excellent. And your fast charging stations, the level threes, what do they typically range from in energy delivered, in top end energy? So, you know, 50 kilowatt, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's going to depend on the location. So the chargers that we have at the en routes are typically able to go up to 150 kilowatts. Most of the other locations around the province are 50 kilowatt.
Yeah. And just for those who are Nissan or Mitsubishi owners, there is a Chatamo plug in every single location of an IV charger, whether it's a one station, two plugs, or whether it's multiple stations, there's always Chatamo around. That's still going to continue to be supported for some time, correct?
Correct. So yeah, we have Chatamo and CCS at all locations. And then at our en routes, we also have a Tesla adapter that is provided at each of the locations. So if you're driving a Tesla vehicle, you'll be able to get a charge without needing to bring an adapter at any of the 20 en route locations.
Yeah, that's great to know. I've actually done the reverse. So, you know, my car natively is a model 2020 Model 3. And I purchased an adapter, a Tesla to CCS adapter, and tried it at an Ivy and had no issues. It worked quite well. So, but now you have the ability where you don't need to get that adapter. If you own a Tesla, you could just natively plug in because you'll have that NACS adapter provided, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
At the plug site. Excellent. And I can tell you that I just recently had the 2024-2025 Hyundai Ioniq 5N. And we know the South Koreans have really good charging capabilities. And I did plug in at an Ivy to get some juice. And I pulled well into the 130s. And it was wasn't that low of a state of charge. So I was actually quite surprised that I was pulling that high. And I actually maintained it quite well. So combination of the vehicles, again, on the vehicle really controls, just for the listeners, it controls how much power is delivered to it. It's constantly monitoring itself, temperatures, all these metrics. And it, you know, basically your equipment are what we call EVSEs, electric vehicle supply equipment. And they're just sending the power requested to that vehicle. So it's a vehicle that really controls the power flow up to whatever you're able to deliver, correct?
Correct. And then, you know, in the winter, we'll tend to be a bit slower. Mm-hmm. So that's another factor that people need to take into consideration. But yes, largely it is the vehicle itself that's, you know, going to dictate what that speed looks like. And as you get up to, you know, kind of 80%, you know, state of charge, like it'll start to slow down. It'll become mm-hmm. a slower, you know, kind of trickle charge from 80 to 100%. So just another thing for, you know, EV drivers to be aware of.
And I'm going to ask you roughly, because I know you can go to a website and look it up, but what roughly is your rate range? Because everybody now is charging on per energy delivered versus time. We moved away from time-based to amount of energy. And if you're pulling faster, in some cases, it could be tiered. Can you explain your pricing structure?
Yeah, so we were one of the first, you know, kind of late last year to make that switch over mm-hmm. to energy-based pricing across our mm-hmm. Level 3 network. You know, in late March of this year, we applied it across the entire Level 3 network that we have. And so right now it's 55 cents per kilowatt hour. And so that is consistent across all of the locations. And that's a consistent price at all times.
Cool. Yeah, because I know some Teslas are up at over 65 or 75. So it really depends. There's a lot of metrics involved in there. So I think that's a pretty competitive rate.
Yeah, we've seen some other networks, you know, beyond Teslas that are, you know, 60 cents per kilowatt hour or 70 cents in certain areas. And so we think 55 is quite competitive and, you know, provides good value to drivers, mm-hmm. particularly, you know, when they're visiting the en route locations. And we're seeing more and more volume, you know, as the weather gets nicer in mm-hmm. terms of utilizing those key stations on the 401 and the 400.
Excellent. And a couple last questions on the Level 3 environment. So if users are there and they're having problems, how easy is it to get help from you guys?
Yeah, so we have 24-hour customer support. And so there is a phone number that's available on our instructions at each site. So they're able to call that and get some support in terms of trying to understand what the issue is and trying to help individuals troubleshoot any issues that they may have at a charger. That number is 1-800-301-1950. We also are monitoring the network all the time. Mm-hmm. And so if there ever is an issue that we see with the charger, you know, our first step is to try to troubleshoot it remotely. If we're unable to do that, you know, then we'll identify the part that might need replacement at site. And then we'll look to dispatch someone as quickly as possible to be able to bring that charger back up online so that, you know, that charging capability is restored for the public.
Yeah, you know, and I appreciate that. And, you know, just again, to provide a sense of confidence to consumers that, you know, this is something, is a business model you guys take seriously and you want to maintain a high service level. Bad news tends to travel faster than good news, the way social media and stuff is. So you get one person that might have a bad experience and they, you know, and they might tend to just say the whole network is not very good, but that's not the case. Again, I'm coming the other way where I never had a problem and I've used it many times. So, and I've used many different stations. So not just going to the same one. So, you know, I mean, be aware, listeners, of feedback out there. PlugShare is a good app, you know, because consumers do provide feedback on stations. So it's a good gauge of how that is, but you guys have been constantly evolving and improving the technology to lessen the degree of outages. But I did want to ask, you know, final question on this. What are some of the circumstances that could lead to a disruption in service at a station?
Yeah, so frequently it might be that there is a particular power module, you know, that's impacted within a charger. And so we need that to be replaced in order to either get the charger to be come fully back online or to have it to be able to perform to the speed and expectation that it might be capable of. So that's kind of a frequent one that we deal with. We've also, you know, had some other minor challenges just with regards to, you know, transformers sometimes needing to be replaced, and that can bring potentially a site offline. But any issue that we have, again, we continue to monitor it constantly, and we look to repair sites as quickly as we can. Sometimes there might be a delay in terms of getting a necessary part from mm-hmm. a manufacturer, and so that is typically what might lead to a longer delay in a charger being offline. It's never that we're not aware of the issue. It's never that we don't have an action plan in place to bring it back online. So that's kind of constantly our mindset and our philosophy in terms of maintaining the network.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I've heard that from other providers as well, that sometimes parts are just, it's, you know, with post-COVID supply chain still and all kinds of things happening, sometimes things are just beyond your control. And I would even say that sometimes, you know, power to the site externally, are sometimes things can happen, the delivery to you can hiccup, and that's beyond your control as well. I mean, you know, with the summertime rolling around, we're going to get these pop-up thunderstorms and some really nice, some rain stuff happening quite often, and that could certainly impact sometimes service levels.
Yeah, those tend to be a little rare, but yes, mm-hmm. certainly if the power is out in a given jurisdiction, you know, that's going to impact us as well. And, you know, we'll then be looking to work closely with the LDCs yeah. to understand when chargers might be coming back online. You know, we'll use our social channels to look to communicate that to customers as well, so that they know that a given station might be unavailable. And, you know, we try to provide updates as quickly as possible in terms of when it comes back online.
Yeah, and I appreciate you mentioned that, Michael, about the social channels. You guys have been very diligent in utilizing that communications method to get the word out if there's challenges, if there's issues, or on the flip side, if there's things that consumers should know about that, you know, hey, you know, if you're going this way, don't forget we have stations here, X, Y, mm-hmm. and Z, or all this kind of, or promotions, or whatever the case may be, that you're trying to get out. It's a great mechanism, and you guys use it quite well. So congratulations on that. I wanted to just shift gears quickly because you guys aren't all about, you know, just level three, you know, destination type fast charging. And also you mentioned some of the level twos that you have in municipalities and other areas, but you have a home-based solution as well. And I don't think a lot of consumers are aware of that. Maybe you can explain what that's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a turnkey home charging solution. It includes a level two smart charger that's manufactured here in Ontario. It also includes installation and ESA approval of that installation, along with 24-hour customer service and multi-year warranty supporting it. So it really is a convenient option for someone that's looking to get a great award-winning, made in Ontario product and supported by, you know, one of the largest public networks. So kind of through one app, you're able to do your home charging, schedule it as you need to, and then be able to use our vast kind of public network as well to be able to get around, you know, when traveling through the province.
Absolutely. You know, you touched on some great points there, Michael. I mean, award-winning, if we're and nice to have local here, you know, Canadian and even Ontarian built, because if we're waiting for the Leafs to win any awards, we'll be waiting a while. I got to throw that jab in, but anyway. So, you know, and I think the key there is that convenience and that it's a turnkey solution. So if folks that are thinking about, you know, getting an EV and have the ability to home charge, this is a great solution where it's all, you know, you get the EVSC, you get the equipment, you get put in touch with a qualified installer. And that's key as well, having somebody that knows what they're doing. You don't want to mess around with high voltage products. And then you get that ESA certificate, which, again, folks, if you're not, you know, you don't know what that is, that just, it's a level of reliability that it's been done right. And then if mm-hmm. there's ever any issues, you know, from an insurability of your home and stuff, you have that certificate to back you up. So, because some insurance providers, if there's something happens and you haven't got it done by a qualified guy, they're going to say your house burnt down. Well, sorry, you're not covered. So these are things that sometimes people don't think about. They try to cheap out and, you know, get their Uncle Bob to install it for them without thinking. So don't mess around. And having that convenience of that one-stop shopping, I think, is excellent for consumers.
Yeah. And you know, the price of putting in a home charger, you know, depending on your setup at home, you know, it can become expensive. And so one of the other benefits of what we provide is you can do monthly payments over the course of a multi-year period. So it kind of takes that large upfront cost, which could be, you know, multiple thousands of dollars, and instead, you know, spreads it over, you know, a 36-month period. And so it becomes a much more manageable, you know, kind of monthly cost. So that's another kind of key benefit and feature that we think is quite valuable.
Excellent. I was not aware of that. So that's great. I learned something new today. Well, I learned a few things. And finally, I know you have integration with your app, right, on your home system as well?
Correct. Yeah. So you'll be able to track the charging through our app. You'll be able to schedule, you know, your charging as well. So nice and simple through the app. In order to get an estimate, you know, to be able to potentially get a home charger installation from us, you can just go to our website, ivycharge.com. You'll be able to go through the home charging tab and be able to fill out a few quick questions. And then we turn that around with an estimate for you.
Excellent. And these chargers are, I think, up to 10 or 11 kilowatts. So they're 48 amp, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Correct. Yeah, they're 40 amp chargers, and so up to 10 kilowatts.
About 10. Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, 48 amp is 11, so that's about right. And that's a pretty good draw nowadays for most vehicles, if not all EVs that you could purchase today, even ones with big batteries like an F-150 or something, to be able to charge within that off-peak window that we have in Ontario. We have that 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. window, Monday to Friday, and then weekends is the same low-tiered rate if you're not on the Ultra ZEV rates today. But it's you know, less than 10 cents a kilowatt for that. If you have a 75 kilowatt hour battery car vehicle or 120 in a Ford or something, that's 75 $7, $7.50 or $12, whatever, if you're going from 0 to 100. So it's that cheap, home charging, folks. So it's definitely worth investing in this kind of infrastructure and having the ability to make payments, which you mentioned, Michael, is a great ease for consumers to get into it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if you have the capability to put a home charger in, you know, it I think it's going to be, you know, transformative in terms of the like EV, you know, ownership experience that you have, and your ability to just kind of travel with confidence, knowing that you've got somewhere, you know, each evening to be able to charge, you know, very economically.
Mm-hmm. And folks, you know, this call, just let you know, like, when I do these interviews, they're all unscripted. Sometimes people ask me, what are you going to ask? What question? And I go, don't worry, we're going to, you know, understand what you guys do and what the value prop is and how it impacts EV market space, and just follow my questions. So everything that I'm asking, Michael, we haven't rehearsed this. I understand what they do, and I want to make sure we get the right information out to you. But one of the things that I've noticed about Ivy and working with some of your folks and getting more knowledgeable, I know you guys are out and about doing, you know, EV education talks as well, trying to promote charging infrastructure to consumers out there, but you really have some core values in the way that you operate as an organization, from, you know, being people first and integrity, you know, your collaboration methods, as you know, I'm working with you folks to try to, you know, move the EV R6 forward and get information to consumers, and, you know, and being safe about what you do from your work and sustainability, having all those tie-ins. You know, it's a really nice messaging in your whole value statement.
Yeah, no, we appreciate that. And yeah, that those are kind of, you know, being people first, acting with integrity, you know, collaborating with trusted and valued partners. And, you know, you kind of see that with Enroute and Canadian Tire at a variety of locations. You know, kind of the safety element comes in with kind of each site that we look to select, making sure that it does have good lighting. It is in a location where you would feel safe charging. There's lots of visibility. And again, it's got amenities that you're able to use so that it's an enjoyable charging experience. So those are kind of, you know, key tenets in terms of us, where we decide to put out chargers. And, you know, it really just helps make sure that people get a consistent and, you know, kind of reliable experience, and they know what they're going to expect if they, you know, pull up to an Ivy site. And that's kind of key in terms of how we look at future locations as well.
Absolutely. And to kind of wrap up this call, this chat, then, Michael, you know, you guys have come a long way in 2 to 3 years, as you know, you've been around a little longer, but really the acceleration has happened in the last couple of years. What can you tell us about the future of Ivy? What do things look like for you guys in the foreseeable nearer to midterm future?
Yeah, so we're going to look to continue to grow both the level 2 and level 3 public networks. You know, I expect that you're going to see a variety of new chargers from us over the course of the next 18 months. There's some areas of the province where we're currently under indexed that we have plans to help kind of really grow the visibility and the availability of EV charging, particularly in some, you know, more rural areas. I think that there is sometimes a expectation that, you know, charging networks, their focus is particularly on the major metro areas, and the rural areas, you know, are kind of sometimes forgotten. That's not the case. So we look forward to working with a variety of partners across, you know, municipalities, businesses, to be able to continue to grow the amount of level 2 and level 3 chargers, you know, that are part of our network.
And is there, and I'm not going to ask you for certain numbers of that. I know you have a plan that you'll roll out over time, but do you look at, is there any type of future viewpoints as far as the type of EVSEs and maybe looking to at some point refresh or upgrade some of those to faster charging speed availabilities? Or is that dependent on the site restrictions itself?
Yeah, it'll be a combination of you know, the site and you know, the advancement of technology and what that looks like. You know, you run the risk of potentially updating kind of every year, which would not necessarily be economical. And so, you know, it's needing to make sure that the network is kind of competitive in terms of what else is out there, and, you know, looking to make sure that it aligns with what changes we're seeing across the environment. You know, the NACS cables are going to basically become, you know, very prevalent over the course of the next few years, as almost all of the major manufacturers have now signed on to that standard. And so there will need to be, you know, a refresh in terms of making sure that there is the capability for NACS cables to be a larger part of our network than it has been currently. And, you know, we're taking that very much into consideration in terms of new charger procurement and deployment.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I think I've covered all the questions that I have for you, Michael, and learning more about IV Charging Network. Is there anything in closing that you wanted to just provide the listeners?
Yeah, just encourage, you know, the listeners to try the network if they have an electric vehicle and are traveling during the course of this summer. As mentioned, we have over 150 level three chargers across the province. Downloading our app is kind of the best and easiest way to be able to initiate a charge and to be able to kind of see what the situation is when planning out their trip.
Absolutely. No, and I'm looking forward to utilizing it more as I get out and about doing more car reviews and just going to the beach and having fun when I can. So again, I really appreciate your time speaking to Michael Kitchen. He's the general manager for IV Charging Networks here in Ontario. It's been a pleasure. And again, you know, for listeners, if, you know, if again, they're very social media aware, and if you're having concerns, you know, let them know and they get back to you pretty quick. But it's a great system that I've been using for some time, and I wish you guys all the best and continued success.
No, absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity this morning, Ken. Appreciate it. And we will talk to you again soon.
For sure. Thank you.
Thanks again for listening, folks. You can email me if you have comments. Email at evrevolutionshow@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at evrevshow. And if you have any suggestions for shows, please let me know. Thanks again for listening, and please, everybody, stay safe. And until the next time, I'll see you when I see you.